Bettering your business takes working with the best. With the James Hardie Alliance, you gain access to leads, training, networking, and support from the number one brand of siding in North America. Achieve new levels of success by joining the James Hardie Alliance today.
Ready to make the most of your summer? Enroll in summer classes at JJC. With sessions just 6 or 8 weeks long, you can earn credits quickly and still enjoy your summer. Whether you're starting your college journey, advancing your career, or transferring credits, JJC has something for everyone. Classes begin on May 19th, June 2nd, and June 30th. Visit jjc.edu/college to register today.
This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi and continuing coverage of the case against Karen Reed.
I want to go through the timeline of events, and we've all heard them 1,000 times. You laid out a pretty good list the other day on your Twitter or X, going through piece by piece of what occurred that day leading up to the death of John O'Keefe. And I know everybody likes to argue about this point and that point, so I just want to go through it and let's discuss all of it. And I'll shoot you any questions I can think of, whether they're mine or just, you know, questions I know that are out there. And let's walk through this. This is from you the other day. From the evidence below is what happened to John O'Keefe. Karen Reed had fought with John all day via texts and their relationship, and we've seen those texts. John finally agreed to get together via text. Reed joins him late. We see that on video. Reed and John are both outwardly getting along, as of course we've seen as well. Reed and John are drinking excessively. Yes, of course we've seen that too, and the BAC information backs that up. Reed and John are invited to Brian Elbert's house, friend of John, although not a close friend, to have a drink and celebrate Brian's son's birthday. Let's first stop there for a moment and talk about the relationship that John O'Keefe had with the people at that home, at that small gathering, because a lot of people are going to say they barely knew each other. I'm going to let you step in there and explain that.
Well, it's more extended than that, right? Mm-hmm. They were both Boston police officers. Yeah. So of course they had a relationship. They're both living in Canton. Of course they know each other and they run in similar circles. Jen McCabe is the sister-in-law of Brian Elbert, and Jen McCabe and John O'Keefe were very close. Their children were close, mm-hmm. and that's what brought them together, right? Yeah. So certainly they knew each other, even though he hadn't been to that house. They weren't partiers together. They mm-hmm. weren't that tight, but they knew each other, and certainly well enough to get the extended invite. Hey, come on, we're not done drinking. My son's yeah. having, I believe it was his 22nd birthday. Mm-hmm. Come join us. There's just a few of us getting together. I think literally 11 people. This yeah. was not a blowout party.
No. No. And that's a very normal thing. If anybody who has been in any sort of cultures like that, you end up at a bar, you end up with a bunch of friends or even acquaintances and you hang out throughout the night, which they did. And like, yeah, come on over. We're going to get OK. Even if you know one or two people, that's usually how that begins, because you're invited over. And then this is a party type crowd. This is a warm crowd. This is a family friends crowd. Let's hang out. Let's talk. Let's drink. I get it. So nothing of that seems weird to me. I've seen some arguments about it being, you know, obviously it's the birthday party going on. And I've seen arguments going, well, it's for, he was a, how old was the birthday boy in this?
Do 22, we know? I believe, from okay. turning 21 to 22.
Sure.
But when you see him in the first trial, we got to see him, Tony.
Yeah.
This is a very subdued, very quiet, mannered young man. Mm-hmm. He's not a partier. He wasn't even out drinking on his big night.
Yeah.
He was just wanting to gather with a few friends. He's that type of personality. And we all have no friends and people and, yeah. and children. One of my children is like that.
Yeah.
They don't want to go out. They don't party at all. They're mm-hmm. at home and they want just their small nest of friends. That is how he comes off.
Sure. Sure. So they go back and they are at the house and they have a get together. It's, you know, the end of the bar time. It's the after party, but it's a low key after party. John and Karen, this is from your post, John and Karen drive there. But on the way, they get turned around, perhaps because they're both drunk. And I agree. And Jen McKay, Brian's sister-in-law, helps give directions. And John and Karen, but mentions the name of John's past girlfriends, whose house is near. as a landmark. And this is from the cell phone data and testimony, correct? That is mentioned there.
Not only is it mentioned, but actually they played clips, two clips of Karen Reed talking about that.
Yeah.
And I didn't put that in the post. I probably should have, but I did later kind of comment about it. So Karen Reed herself is saying, see, he basically right before my relationship, he went to bed with her. He says the words "hooked up with her," I think were her exact words. And she looked right down the street. And, you know, when she's talking about all of, you know, where could he be? And so you can see her bring it to light.
Yeah.
And they got to play that.
I thought it was interesting how she worded it too, because Karen, he recently, I think is what she said, the word recently had been with her. It's like, you mean like 2 years ago before you met him? Like, that's not recently. Recently is like last week or last month. That's not recent, Karen. But it speaks to Karen's mindset, though, and paranoia about any other women around John O'Keefe and personality types like this. This is one of their kryptonites. It's this fear of being left. It's this insecurity that someone else is going to be with your man. And any woman, I mean, she'd probably freak out if it was someone from high school. That would be recent to her, too. Like, when he was 18, he slept with her. That was recent. Like, no, it's not, Karen. That's a long time ago. But that paranoia level is interesting. And I just think it's a piece of the puzzle. It's a stone in the making of all this to try and understand Karen Reed. So Reed then loses it and they start fighting. Reed is jealous and doesn't want him around other women. This is from the text and the testimony. John leaves the car, grabs his glass and has his glass, evidence of the glass at the scene, and Reed's statement and testimony. Reed's jealous and boiling angry that John doesn't want to be with her and would rather go to the party with people he doesn't know well. That's from Reed's statements. Do you think that was going through John's mind at the time? Do you think it's, I don't know these people well, or just, I'm done arguing with you, Karen. I'm going to get out of this car. And she knows McCabe's there. She knows some other people there, or he knows some other people there. Okay, I'm done with this. I just need to get out.
I think it was, I need to get out. I'm done. And I also think that part of the reason that Karen Reed might not have wanted to go in was the fact that Brian Higgins was there. She sees the truck. She sees the plow. She knows he decided to go right at the bar. Nobody ever really knows who's going, right?
Yeah.
Because those invitations are like, yeah, just come back to the house. Everybody's like, oh, yeah, we'll be there. Some people go, some people don't. And I think that, remember, at this time, she was courting him.
Yeah.
She'd reached out to him. They were having this. And I think that situation might have made her feel somewhat uncomfortable. I think she was very jealous. And I'm not so sure, judging by all of those buildup texts from earlier in the day, that you never know if the actual breakup, if you will, occurred right then. I didn't, if you could, you know, how I did that tweet was very specific, exactly what I did when I would go to a prosecutor. I'd say, here's a fact, and here are the two or three points of evidence we have to support it.
Yeah.
And then I would hook it up on the back of it. Right. So that's how I did this. So I didn't want to put that in because we haven't heard about a breakup.
Yeah.
So that part of it is just sort of possible.
Sure. Sure. It's in another interesting dynamic there. She's so paranoid about John cheating on her with the neighbors that he hasn't seen in forever. Yet she's actively courting another guy, actively inviting him to come over and sleep with her because they're both adults. And she's projecting all this out there and reversing it around as someone with a narcissistic personality. And she seems to have that, does. I mean, obviously it's not breaking the law, but it's really just kind of amazing how the rules don't apply to her. They apply to everyone else, including John O'Keefe, but her, you know, it's this or that, as we've heard Karen say before, you know, well, you know, they should have been, not witnesses. They should have been suspects. But it's like she has that same outlook there on her sexual life as well, with John O'Keefe, that she can go do whatever. And John, you know, it's the end of the world if he were to look at another woman.
Well, you know what? The root of people who are narcissistic, at the very root, is yeah. their own self-contempt. Mm-hmm. Really, like if you yeah. could just peel everything back, mm-hmm. it's their own self-doubt, self-contempt. I mean, really at the root of it. And then that's why it's exacerbated with, I'm great, I'm mm-hmm. wonderful, I can do no wrong. That's how they overcome that. And you see that with her.
You do.
Right? It's so crystal clear mm-hmm. that the rules for everybody else don't apply to her.
She's a lesson in this.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast. In a world where the darkest secrets lie just beneath the surface.
They said it was an accident, but the evidence says otherwise.
Where hidden killers roam unnoticed in the shadows.
I think you would definitely be looking at a blend of toxic, very bad narcissistic personality traits, and they will be vengeful and possibly resort to violence.
Join Tony Bruschi as he uncovers the truth behind the most chilling cases.
They said it was an accident, but the evidence clearly says otherwise.
Each episode, we dig deep into the minds of those who commit the unthinkable.
To your point on narcissism, he thinks in his own mind how witty he is.
Yeah.
But he lost that jury. I was done with him in 2 minutes.
From unsolved mysteries to infamous crimes.
Geez, you've just talked about how you've taught yourself how to do everything under the sun. I bet you did a YouTube video, how to best kill somebody with a knife.
Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi takes you where few dare to go.
How does someone with such a dark secret go unnoticed for so long?
With multiple new episodes every single day.
We're not just telling stories, we're seeking justice.
Listen now on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search for Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi.